is the Kevin Shi Show.
Okay, welcome to another episode of the Kevin Shi Show. Today we have David Ye Jr. of Destiny Research Institute. So last time I met David in another meeting, and then we were talking about the coronavirus, COVID-19, and how it has a very lasting impact to the economy and to Hong Kong and to the world. So it was a very interesting topic that we talked about, and I just want to get you on the show and talk about more. Welcome, David. Can you give me a bit of background about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. First of all, I really appreciate your invitation. So
thank
I'm
you.
Here to be one of the interviewee. I think Destiny Research Institute was started 6 years ago. Basically, our target audience is serving a lot of family office and listed company. What we do is basically we provide a lot of strategies, people optimization. But on the same time, within our community, we have a lot of alliance coaches. So basically, we leverage the expertise as to help our clients as well.
Okay.
So we've been quite, extensive doing what we do, and gradually, building our company up over the last 6 years.
Okay. So I guess this coronavirus caught everybody by surprise. Although you saw that in the stock market, a lot of industry has been decimated. Everybody's getting support from the government, but
right.
I don't think that's sustainable. What do you think, how long-lasting do you think this virus will have on, just say, Hong Kong or the world? You think it's going to be a V-shaped economy, recovery or a U-shape, or it will never recover L-shape?
I think that's a very good question. I think, first of all, nobody understands how long this is going to last. I think it really depends on whether there's a vaccine or whether government has done enough fiscal or monetary stimulus onto it. But what we do actually lately, we've been preparing for this, and we think that maybe it's a good idea to understand what's the impact if this virus goes for 6 months' time. Let's say a virus come within a very short, the vaccine come within a very short period of time. If it lasts until 1.5 years to 2 years' time, or if the worst case probably goes beyond 3 years. So I would say it really depends on how long this pandemic is going to last. Obviously, looking at what's happening today.
Short time seems a bit unlikely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, they talk about, there's some kind of vaccine, but doesn't look like it's going to be cured within 6 months. But having said that, very much, I would say we're looking at a base case situation, 1.5 years to two years. And I think the impact really depends on which industry you're in. I'll give you some good examples. Obviously, if you're in e-commerce, probably you're
very
least
good.
Affected, right?
Yeah.
If you're consumable goods, yes or no, if you know how to pivot yourself, if you know how to position yourself again, you may be able to find some new growth opportunity.
Luxury, no good.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But obviously, I was surprised actually, yesterday when Chanel actually raised their price for, 30-40%, and people were lining up,
for
handbags,
The same handbags?
Yeah, it's the same handbags. Let's say if you buy a classic black Chanel handbag, it used to be $34,000.
Okay.
But now it probably costs $40,000 or something. But what I know is a few days ago, before they raised the price, people was actually lining up to get those bags.
Okay.
So it really depends. And then we're coming down to, I think, the oil and gas industry. And I think the most affected is going to be the tourism and the travel industry, because we know that nobody knows when the cruise line is going to resume. Nobody knows when we're going to travel again because of the traffic restrictions. So I think those industries will be impacted the most.
And if they're not coming back anytime soon.
No.
Even if Hong Kong has no lockdown, best case scenario is we have a travel bubble with China or maybe Macau.
Right.
But the number of tourists is maybe half or even less.
Yes,
right?
True. Very true.
And then just people fear of going out. So it's just a habit. Yeah.
I think so. Because, if you look at Carnival Cruise Line, if you look at their cash on hand, they could only last about 8 months' time.
Okay.
So let's say if the numbers of tourists doesn't come back within that period of time,
they'll go bankrupt.
Very much likely they will go
bankrupt.
And what
about hotels?
Hotel, I think, it really depends, because it's what kind of strategy he's doing. Obviously, in Hong Kong right now, you see a lot of staycation package now.
Yeah.
So they try to do as much as possible to try to secure some cash flow so that they won't suffer.
I heard they're revamping some of their hotel room into more of a family house.
For sure. Yeah.
And then just charging monthly. And so low that even the housing property market has been affected.
Yes, sure. Okay. And I think, you know, it will also, you know, kind of disrupt other, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, property related.
So it's fair to say that if you're in an industry that's reliant on tourism or travel, you should either get out while you're still ahead, or maybe sometimes you can't pivot yourself enough. If you're in travel, how can you pivot yourself enough to thrive?
I definitely think, you know, if the pandemic is going to last much longer than everybody expects, definitely, you know, there's going to be abandonment. From our research, I don't know whether it's going to be right or wrong. We believe 30% of all business will be either going down or have to go through a major, major restructuring process. So that's how we see it in the
by
next
year. By how
years.
Long? Like in 2 years?
I don't know, 1.5, you know, 2 years time.
Wow, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about real estate? I mean, we had you introduced Dr. Ho to me.
Yes.
Very good friend. And he said, don't rely on real estate anymore because commercial real estate is not coming back. What's your view on that? Obviously, I mean, you see the shops, you see the office.
I think, you know, first of all, I think the pandemic has shifted a lot of our habits now. We have a lot of habits that's supposed to happen, you know, maybe 5 years later down the road, but it just hit on right away. Work from home is one of them, right?
Don't come back.
Yeah, don't come back. You know,
even after Twitter.
You post something on, you know, social media, you know, I think a few days ago, you were talking about Twitter having all the employees actually stayed at home. So my
even after the virus is gone.
So my belief is a lot of corporation, including major banks, they might actually have their employees stay at home because they already spend so much resources onto, you know, the infrastructure and everything. So, you know, staff can stay at home and then they can be there. So that's how I see it, you know, how the pandemic
will affect. So office, in my view, office, street shops or even shopping malls.
Right.
You think e-commerce is here to stay, or do you think you still see the value of a brick and mortar shop?
I think one of the things I see is, you know, definitely you need a flagship somewhere because people still
but
want
the number
to
of
go.
Flagship is very little.
Yeah, right? I mean, still want to go into the shop, experience it, touch it, feel it. But I think if you look at the demographics market today, I mean, if you look at the baby boomers, Gen, you know, millennials, you know, Gen X, Y, Z, they all have different consumer behavior.
Yeah.
But if we look at the upcoming demographics, which is the millennials, you know, Gen X, Y, Z, their shopping pattern is very different. If I look at my daughter today, everything is shop online. Yeah. She will ask, Daddy, you know, why don't you, you know, like, put in your credit card, type in, and then, you know, the products is here. So I would assume in the next, I think, 5 to 10 years, baby boomer spending is going to start going down.
Yeah.
They're going to be spending more money probably on their retirement obligations,
healthcare,
you know, like taking care of themselves. But if you're talking about consumer spending, you have to think about where these demographics are going to,
it's,
you know, spend the money.
It's a seismic shift.
I think so.
Yeah. So, wow. Interesting. I was looking at a demographic, like usually when there's a high mortality rate for this COVID-19, it's usually elderly. I mean, from a government standpoint, there could be an argument that says if we don't shut down the economy, just let a bit more people die, you can save it because those people are, you know, older, they're not very productive in the economy anyways.
Yes.
Look at Sweden. Do you think eventually some government would just give up and just say, you know, we can't have this prolonged shutdown? This is the view of the Republican, you know, just let some, you know, non-functioning, you know, elderly die, which is not moral, but you can't shut down the economy forever because there's a hidden cost there.
I talked to, you know, like few doctors, I think last few months. One of them actually said it's very likely to be just like a ordinary disease or illness. It's going to last, so people develop their antibodies, so you know, people, you know, will find immunity out of it. But one of the things I see is, you know, there are still a lot of talents in a lot of elder people.
Yeah.
You know, anybody about 55, 60, 65. In the States, there are so many, you know, talents that is actually in that age group.
Yeah.
I would say it's a huge loss to the world if these people actually are passing. So this is why I see it.
Of course.
I feel
we're approaching that age soon.
Yeah, and we're approaching that age. Yeah. But the thing is, I really believe life is precious. But I think, I don't know what government can actually do to make sure that, you know, this goes on. But I mean, we'll have to monitor. We don't know, you know, whether a pharmaceutical company will come up with something Or, you know, if we, you know, I don't know. We'll it's really like play by the ear and see how it goes for the time being, yes.
How can the government, like, how can the economy, if 30% of all businesses will close?
Yes.
How can an economy survive that? I mean, the tax revenue,
okay.
The loss of jobs. I mean, for me, I'm afraid to go to a lot of countries now because of the high unemployment rates, especially developing countries. I mean, I don't want to get robbed.
No, it's so true.
Yeah.
And I think when you speak about that, I think of a person that I always read his literature. His name is Ray Dalio. You probably read one of his books too, Principle, right?
Principle.
So basically, I think Ray Dalio, over the last year, he's been mentioning, you know, this incident is very similar to the 1929 Great Depression.
Build up to the World War.
Yeah, and a few reasons. One, we have a lot of populism, scenario going on. A lot of leaders that want to express themselves.
Isolationists.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah.
And if you look at what happened lately, as you just pointed out, I think there's a lot of hostility going on as well between nations, between people. So I would assume if I send my daughter or my son to somewhere to study, I would be very much concerned, you know, about their safety. So I believe, you know, we don't know what the impact is. But the thing is, you know, I always see every crisis there's opportunity. I think that's your motto too, right? I'm sure every crisis there's opportunity. It's how we pivot ourselves, how we turn around ourselves, how we re-engineer ourselves to be positioned in the right area. I'm sure there are companies that are doing very well right now. If you look at Shopify, if you look at Document, you know, the document company, you know, that requires, you know, signing. Yeah. There are companies that are doing very well. The only thing I would say, the government needs to provide certain ecosystem and infrastructure for the economy to pick it up again. And I've been actually talking to a lot of entrepreneurs and startup, you know, founders here in Hong Kong. I feel that there's still a bit of lack of, you know, ecosystem and infrastructure support for them.
Yeah. Yeah. The government just gives free money and they don't give
So you don't want to teach somebody, you know, give them fish and not teach them how to catch a fish.
How do you think the printing of money, quantitative easing, and deglobalization, a lot of things people are feared that cannot be produced in China anymore because of the hostility. How do you think that would affect the world?
I think it looks like printing money is going to be the trend. So, you know, the Fed...
But somebody has to pay the bill if you keep on printing, right?
That's very true.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we don't know what will happen next. And every time when there's something that dramatic happens, we usually is followed by a very disrupt event, which we don't know. Could be a war of a small scale, hopefully.
Yeah.
Could be isolation and, you know, protectionism coming in for a lot of time. People are already talking about Cold War between China and U.S. now. There was Cold War in the 80s, you know, between U.S. and Russia.
Yeah.
Now, it's very likely two really great power coming together, and now there's another Cold War developing.
But if everybody stopped buying stuff from China and printing money in the same time, wouldn't that lead to massive inflation?
Very likely. Yeah, and this is something that we don't want to see too.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely too.
So, yeah, like our children may be the first generation to grow up where their living standard may not be as high as ours.
No, could be.
That is like a major trend reversal.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. I mean, if I talk to my parents, if I understand what my grandparents going through, they all go through different stages.
Yeah.
So I think we as baby boomers, we are one of the luckiest you know, group, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up after the World War and then, you know, the demographic is serving us right, the income is rising, we have ample of opportunity and things like that. But seriously, I mean, for our kids, you know, for the younger generation, I'm extremely concerned. And I'm actually, you know, in my position, I really want to help them too, both in terms of psychological and emotional fitness. I think that's very important.
Can you tell us a bit more about your company? I mean, some examples of how you help them transform?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, like I think last 4 months, you know, we've been spending a lot of time and resources in producing a micro movie. This micro movie, basically, if you have a chance to look at it, we talk about what kind of example we have experienced and what are the contexts that, you know, we are facing. Inside the micro movie, we talk about a family who's in the delicacy, you know, distribution business. So there's the father, two brothers, and a...
In Hong Kong.
Real
case example.
Real case example, and an old employee. So Actually, from the beginning.
Brothers, right?
Brothers. Okay. Siblings. Could be brothers, but we just use, you know, two brothers as an example. And in the beginning, they were talking about, you know, there's a lack of communication between the older employees and the, you know, second generation. So there's a lot of conflict. People think that, okay, you are the, you know, son of the boss. You just come in, point fingers, and then, you know, you don't know about anything. And, you know, there's a lot of conflict. And then, you know, this next scene we talk about, you know, like there's conflict between the son and the father.
Okay.
You know, why there's always conflict? Because father would tell you, you know, you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And son would say, you know, why? You know, why my father is doing this to me? You know, I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
So having said that, you know, we actually talk to these second and third generation members and try to help them too. Because a lot of times, you know, I learned from a very good guy, Tony Robbins, you know, and then he has a lot of good peers, Jay Abraham, you know, Ray Dalio. One of the things they always said is, you know, people focus on two things. A lot of time people focus on the strategy, the skill set. But a lot of times it's really the successful leaders or business owners is really coming down your psychology factor. I'm sure, you know, yourself, you have experienced numerous ups and downs in your career, right? And I'm sure you have tremendous courage and, you know, fighting spirit to fight it through. So I always see that even though if you have the skill set, you have strategy, you need that psychological factor. So for us, I think it's to share effective, you know, strategies, experience, examples to them so they can understand, okay, if I'm having some problem talking to my father, if I have some problem talking to the older employees, if I have issues with my brother, sister, how are we going to be able to resolve that? I think, you know, there are a lot of things that we share, I think, both in the NLP space, neuro-linguistic programming, and what I learned from the coaching and personal development space. I think it's going to be very useful for them to pivot through this critical period. And also,
I think they're having problems even before the virus. Because as a second generation or a third generation, how do you take the business to the next level? That's not easy.
No, it's not easy. And I think if you look at the next few years' time, I think there's going to be few trillions of wealth going to pass from one generation to the next.
Or evaporated because of the virus.
Could be. I mean, it could definitely you know, happen too.
Any successful case model you can share?
I think so. You know, there's one case which I'm very proud about. And I think, you know, it happened really long time ago. I think in the beginning, there was a bit of conflict between a old employees and the second generation. And we came in, we tried to, you know, resolve that by actually understand what their needs are. I think the most important thing is really understanding your needs and see what, you know, they want. And after that, basically, we decided to do a value, mission, purpose session with all the all the staff in the company. And eventually, actually, 35% of the staff actually left the company because they don't feel that that's aligned.
But you made it obvious. Yeah, you made it obvious, right?
Yes. And finally, they actually conquered something really big, you know, in their mind. It's also psychological. It's acquiring an overseas company in the U.S. And eventually, they pivot themselves actually out of manufacturing and become a marketing company now in the US. So this is one example that we've been, you know, like involved for many years. And yeah, I'd love to share more examples, you know, if I
So if my audience wants to reach you, how can they contact you?
I mean, you can, you know, I'm in social media. I'm in Facebook.
David Ye?
Yeah, Dave, actually our company is Destiny Research Institute. Yeah. You can look that up on Facebook. You can always, you know, like find my email and my contact number below. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. For details on this episode, go to kevinshee.com. That's Kevin, S-H-E-E.com.